7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy Anelli here with you on another Sunday Croc podcast. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. My brother on the other side of the computer. You're in there somewhere. Come on out and play.
Hello, hello, hello. Happy Sunday, everybody, as I am on the other side of the glass here at my home, babysitting my two little ones. One is passed out and one is using my phone.
I love it. That's good news. And I'm so excited for many reasons. Number one, it's a summer. So you and I kind of do slack off a little bit. We had a little vacation. The podcasts are going to be a bit on the short side. I'm sure no one out there is going to be complaining not to have to hear me ramble on for 45 minutes. And we are still on a really exciting and I think a very important module called Exercise for the Cancer Survivor.
Absolutely. If you haven't missed it, last week was called Keeping Score, Episode 5. It's a great great part of our series, and there's plenty more to look at it. Take a look at them.
Yeah, and thank you for that, Angel. Let's recap a little bit. We always look back before we go forward. So in this module, we were talking a little bit about your survivorship. So whether you're a fresh newbie, just diagnosed and haven't even started your treatments yet, or if you're going through your treatments and you're suffering, or you're done with your treatments, you're a new, you know, completed survivor, still feeling the side effects of your treatments, or whether you've been a survivor for 25 years and you've decided that you want to make a couple of changes in your life to be healthier. And that's why you came back and listened to this podcast. So we started just with something simple, just defining some activities that you wouldn't even think, you know, would be considered exercise. So what I tried to teach you all was find what your passion is and then gravitate toward it. So if you love flowers and gardening, believe me, gardening is hard work. So as long as you're keeping score and checking your heart rate, that could be your activity. If you were a varsity basketball player and you just love playing basketball, you know, maybe just shooting around with your kids for 30 minutes a day might be that activity. Or if you're somebody who just used to lift weights, or somebody who used to go to the gym or likes to take classes. Back in my day, Angel, before all this fancy stuff, they had a thing called aerobics. And my wife actually was an aerobics instructor. So, I mean, you know, things have gone far since 1970s. But, of course, there's all these new classes in these gyms. The gyms are awesome. They're beautiful. They're clean. They're full of very beautiful, young, fit people. So it's a neat environment. They have spin classes. There's all of these different sorts of movements out there. We talked to Laura and Buddha from CrossFit, Take Back CrossFit. But we talked to Jim Quinn about weightlifting. And so today we're just going to be talking about something completely, what might seem very trivial, but I think might be really important. So they're called squirts. So today we're going to be talking about exercise squirts. So you've bought into what we said. You joined your softball team, you're playing some basketball in an over 50 league, or you're bowling, or you're gardening, or whatever you're doing. You're starting to eat right. You're starting to actually watch your carbs, check out your numbers, check your weight every week or 2 weeks, making sure that you start losing weight. You've agreed, reluctantly, you've agreed. I know, because I hate high intensity training, but you agreed to 150 minutes a week in your orange zone. So whatever your orange zone is, we taught you how to calculate that. You're going to spend 150 minutes of your 5 to 6 days of movement and activity, and you're actually lifting some weights. You could be doing what my wife does, and I'm looking in her office. I'm in her office, and she has small little 5-pound turquoise dumbbells that look like they could be earrings. And you basically just like, you know, do some whatever, some squats or whatever, loaded squats, or you could even do some bicep curls or whatever. She's got a couple of steps, a couple of bands. whatever it is you have to do to get that happening and to get your strength, because that's important, especially as we get older. And many of your cancer survivors already have a very, very non-dense bones, very porous bones, maybe bones that are potentially at risk for fracture. So we have to make your muscles strong, and we have to make your body composition change that a bit. And you're thinking, okay, E, we've done everything you said. What else can you possibly tell us? Well, when I was a third-year medical student, I was in hell. I was literally doing a sub-internship. Actually, I was a fourth-year medical student, and I was in Kings County Hospital. Don't ask me how my friend who was at Downstate Medical Center, because I was in Rutgers, you know, beautiful farmland and gorgeous and, you know, pretty cushy. And I could have done my sub-internship there. But of course, my friend talked me into going to downtown Brooklyn and Midwood and going to Kings County Hospital on January 1st to begin a month of hell. But the good news is that we had the greatest, greatest resident who taught us so much. His name was Dr. John King. And if John's still out there, I haven't seen you in 35, 38 years or whatever. You were a big influence to me. But one of the things he taught me, which was pretty cool, was trying to get work done at Kings County Hospital is like trying to quickly drink molasses. It just doesn't happen. So everything from getting blood drawn to getting an x-ray or getting records or whatever. Now, this is in the days before computers. This is in the day when you actually had to go to the x-ray reading rooms and you had to actually go to the lab and get your blood work, and everything was paper. But everything was slow, including the elevators. So what John said was, guys, I just want to let you know, this month, we never are going to take an elevator. And that place was just, you know, a huge, humongous medical complex, you know, with all sorts of different buildings and, you know, multiple floors. Now, we're not in Rutgers, you know, with like four-story buildings. Like, you were in like freaking Brooklyn, you know, with 7, 8, 9, 14 floor buildings, and we're got like going up these stairs all day. And I asked him, I said, you know, God bless you. Like, don't you think we work hard enough? And he said, that's exactly right. We do work hard enough. And that's why this little extra, these extra couple of stairs can make a difference in your health. And I immediately called it. No one else has called it this. Angel, make sure we talk to Justin and we get this name already, you know, copyrighted to us.
Yeah.
I said, wow, how important. These are called exercise squirts. So an exercise squirt is not anything that you count. Remember last week was make it count, or what was it, keeping score. These squirts are just going to have to be slowly implemented into your daily routine. So for instance, a couple of years ago, maybe more than 5 years ago, I had a blood clot in my leg and I was on medicine, and my wife taught me how to do all these sorts of movement exercises. Like, I would have to get out of my chair every half hour and start doing some movements and some squats and some, you know, what I thought, you know, watching me with who has no rhythm do these little dances. But whatever it was, that was the beginning of my squirts after John King. I used to do them in the bathroom. So being as I get older, the prostate is huge. I'm peeing every 3 seconds. So every time I go into, you know, urinate, I would do 10 squats and I would do 10 push-ups and I would do 10 like little lateral movements. And that's how the squirt started, just by, you know, that. And the reason why I used my bathroom break is because if anybody out there has really busy jobs, Angel, you're one of them. It's not like you could excuse yourself for 5 minutes. Like that doesn't happen.
Nope.
There are no, I need to go to the water cooler. I mean, sometimes we don't even get to go to the bathroom. But I was thinking that if I did go to the bathroom, I would extend my bathroom visit for maybe an extra 2 minutes to do these things that took 2 minutes to do. And then I would come out. Now that wouldn't influence either my early morning workout or if I was doing a workout after work or whatever. That was just something to become part of your routine. And then it got a little more ambitious. I brought a Tony Horton tape in and I would do some bands. And I brought in some weights and I do some bicep curls and things like that. I brought in a kettlebell, just to do five, Russian kettlebell swings or something every 2 hours or whatever. And the most important thing is you don't even have to do anything. You don't even have to bring any bands or bring any jump ropes or bring any weights or whatever. You could just use your body weight. And here's another thing, getting back to Dr. King and his stairs, we all have stairs in our locations. Angel, you're in the basement, you're in the bowels of our hospital. All you have to do is instead of making a right to go to the cafeteria and eat their terrible buffalo wings, you come up to the healthy cafe. You get yourself a small coffee and you have a salad up there or a soup and you just climb, two sets of stairs. Yeah. And that's awesome. And that's what a squirt is. I wanted to get your thoughts about that.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I've always been a firm believer that, you can find almost anything to work out off of. You don't have to sometimes pay a gym membership. And then of course, well, just no disrespect to any of the gyms or the CrossFits out there, but you had asked about what I do on my lunch and I'll find myself.
You go for a walk.
I walk around the parking lot.
Yeah. And then we're very lucky. We should tell everybody.
Yeah.
At Garnet Medical Center, they actually, and this was such a genius thing they did. They put like this beautiful nature walk, right? It's kind of like a exercise or it's like a squirt walk, right? I mean, yeah. It's not counted toward your workout, but they have different stations that you can do different things, I think.
Yes, that's true. I think what's good is that you got the ability to, when you get to certain spots, there's like a bicycle. I think it's a bicycle for the hand motion.
Yeah. So you just kind of do like a little bit of a quick location.
And then they also have one that you can sit as well.
Oh, okay. So
different stations. If you've never listened, you should try it. It's pretty cool. And then there's different stretches that they show you can do along the way. So it's kind of cool.
Well, you with the squirts, you could be as, we said, keep it simple, right? KISS, keep it simple, stupid. But you could be as complicated as you want. I mean, there is, speaking of spinning, I think for $24, you can go to Amazon and you could buy not a bicycle, not like an exercise bike, but just the pedals. And you could basically be sitting doing your work and you could basically be spinning while you're working. I have automatic desks, so I could stand, when I'm working, and I could even do squats. And I have to give the most ambitious / innovative squirt idea to my colleague, Dr. Victor Tedesco in Diagnostic Radiology. He's a marathon runner. He connected a treadmill to his reading computer. So he's walking while he's reading his films and dictating in a dictaphone. So I'm not telling you guys that you have to be Dr. Tedesco, but you can be as creative as you want.
That is amazing. You're telling me that. So how is that connected now?
It's basically a treadmill. And you know how treadmills might have TVs, a mount for a TV?
Yeah.
So his mount is to his, obviously, as I was joking about before, where, in the old days, everything were old films and things. Everything's on the computer. Radiologists don't read films anymore. They read images on a computer. And he has this big, massive, like 55-inch screen or whatever. And he's able to navigate it, I guess, with like a Bluetooth mouse or whatever. And he's literally reading his films, dictating with his left hand, working the films with his right hand, and he's walking. Now, I'm not saying he's walking at a 12-minute per mile pace, but he's
walking.
He's walking. He's just walking rather than sitting down and reading his films. But remember, squirts are simple. You go to the bathroom, You do 10 squats, you're done. If you're a germaphobe, like many people that I know, one of whom I'm married to, you know, you're not going to be doing like push-ups on the toilet floor, of course. I will, but she won't, of course. And Angel, I doubt you will either. You know, and I know I'm disgusting, but that's that. But, you know, that's a squirt. You can climb a, you know, just say you finish a patient. You tell the nurses, I'll be right back. You go, you climb two sets of stairs and you come back. That's a squirt. Angel eats his, you know, his salad for lunch. He goes outside if it's a nice day and he goes, walks the nature walk slash exercise walk at work. And you guys get it. You can do the same thing and you could have your little turquoise weight, 5 pound weights. You could have a kettlebell. You could have, you know, some bands. You could have a jump rope. You can go outside and do 100 jump ropes, 200 jump ropes, whatever. That should take you literally 5 minutes to do. That's a squirm. So if you put everything together, you have a, you know what you want to do. You want to get healthier. You know the way you're going to do it. You're going to start keeping score and you're going to say to yourself, I am going to journal 6 days that I'm going to do some movement this week. I'm going to try to do 30 minutes a day if I can. If I could do an hour, even better. Many of the days, I'll just be doing a walk or a little bike ride or whatever, or going to the gym and taking your class. I'm going to invest $100 in some kind of a monitor that's going to watch your heart rate, and you're going to know, and you're going to document, you're going to journal 150 minutes. You need 150 minutes to get your heart rate in that orange zone. I think my orange zone, we said, was 131 to 145 or something like that. Now you guys will have a higher heart rate zone because I'm an old dude. So if you're younger, you will have a higher orange zone, or if you're older than me, you would have a lower orange zone, but doesn't matter. As long as you do your 150 minutes, you're going to get some weights and you're going to do some strength and resistance training. And every day, no matter what, you're going to do some squirts. And with all that we said, remember the most important thing, Angel, what is the most important thing of this whole module? It doesn't make any sense because it's not exercise, but what is the most important thing that we stress to everybody?
Have fun and be safe.
No, wrong answer.
I believe in having fun.
No, of course, safe. That's important, of course. No, the most important thing is, and you know, this is a misnomer as well. Everyone doesn't think, they think, oh my God, if I could do like just another hour on the stair climber, then I can have, you know, this to eat or that to eat or whatever. No, the knife and fork, that battle between the knife and fork is a million times more important than any exercise you do.
That was a trick question.
And when marathoners, I told you guys about that, we met all these people that, you know, were early starters to each marathon we would go to. And, you know, we would be there and we would talk to them. And we went early because we're slow. So we went early and we were noticing we were having breakfast with a bunch of fat people and they were just about to do a marathon and they were eating bagels and Entenmann's and all sorts of cool stuff. And we were going to say, wow, they must be eating that because, you know, they're going to burn it all in the marathon. They actually ran marathons and gained weight because they ate more calories than they burned in their marathon. So don't be that guy. Don't be the penguin, the fat penguin in the beginning of marathon. That's that, like that gains weight during, you know, during the process.
Isn't that the truth?
Angel Santana, as always, you have the last word.
You know, I think that when we talk about all the different tools that are in our possession and are in front of us, and they're cost effective and they're free because they're something that we can utilize in our own hands, our own homes, anything from just lifting up a cell phone and just doing like a barbell motion. You know, it brings me back to the era. I wanted to say this earlier, to the Jane Fonda days. There's a name.
Oh, Jane Fonda there and Jack LaLanne. Those are the ones that I remember. Suzanne Summers.
Yeah, those are the ones. I mean, a lot has happened over the last, you know, 15 to 20 years. But the most important thing is, like we said, is just understanding what our surroundings are, what our capabilities are. But more importantly, being happy, being healthy, being safe. And yes, of course, the fork and knife, as I failed that test miserably. But maybe because I just love my fork and knife. I would just wish everyone, you know, good health, and we just, I can't wait to continue on with this series.
Yep. Well, next week will be the last. We're going to wrap it all together with a nice, beautiful survivorship bow.
Awesome.
Let's say some thank yous.
Let's do it.
Well, the first person I want to thank is Mr. Angel and Noah Santana from Have Faith, Let It Begin. Angel, you're a very holy man. You're a great friend. I think I wrote this to you in a text. You're a great man. You're a great husband, great father, great spiritual warrior, all those sorts of things. I think I even said a couple of funny things too that you were. I don't remember. What did I say that you were?
I have it. Also the, you know, the person against all appliances.
Yes. You're the anti-appliance man. There were a lot of cool things I said. So Angel, thank you for helping our survivors and being part of this podcast.
Absolutely.
I would like to thank Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. As always, every week, Rod makes a difference in my life and in your life, in our survivors' lives. And I want to thank him personally. The board of directors, I always thank for their hard work on our behalf. Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson for their patronage. Michael just got a really cool role. He was in California the other day some kind of a TV series. He was a paramedic. I think his name was Ramirez. Oh, Ralph cool. Ramirez. That was his character's name. Sent me a picture in front of his trailer, you know, his big actor's trailer. So that's pretty cool.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
You know, and of course, you know, what can we say about our survivors, Angel? We love these guys. That's why we're here every Saturday into Sunday doing these tapes. Anything that we might be able to help them with, these little small nuggets of hopefully of wisdom that can motivate them to get out there in this particular module, to get out there and move. And maybe it might be something that might spark, you know, your first move toward a better life. And Angel, you and I have always agreed on each of our respective podcasts. We're not looking to touch a million lives. If we can, that's great. We touch one or two each week. That's all we can ask from our Lord. And I just want to say our weekly prayer to our survivors whom we love. We would do anything for you. We would break down a brick wall for you. You know, you guys are important. You guys are worthy. You guys are amazing. You guys are awesome. You guys are strong. You guys are courageous. May God bless you. May He bless you with a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. Peace.